Okay, word by word synonyms. Vishvak. You can repeat. All around. Svarantam. Moving his limbs. Rahana aturam. Afflicted because of being captured. Harehi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrsingadeva. Vyalaha. A snake. Yata. Just as. Akum. A mouse. Kulisha akshata. Not cut even by the thunderbolt. Thrown by Indra. Twacham. Whose skin. Dwari. On the threshold of the door. Urum. On his thigh. Apacha. Placing. Dadhara. Pierced. Lilaha. Very easily. Nakahai. With the nails. Yata. Just as. Ahim. A snake. Garudaha. Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. Mahavasyam. Very venomous. Translation, as a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrsingadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here and there and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrsingadeva placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs, and in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Hiranyakāśipu had received from Lord Brahmā the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep the promise of Lord Brahmā intact, Nrsingadeva placed Hiranyakāśipu's body on his lap, which was neither land nor sky. Hiranyakāśipu had received the benediction that he would not die either during the day or at night. Therefore, to keep this promise of Lord Brahmā, the Lord killed Hiranyakāśipu in the evening, which is the end of day and the beginning of night, but is neither day nor night. You can unplug that fan thing. It's going to put everybody to sleep because it's a white noise. See how much better it is? It's actually a noise that people put on when they want to go to sleep. They have trouble sleeping. It's called white noise. Hiranyakāśipu, see how much better you can hear now? Hiranyakāśipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahmā that he would not die from any weapon or be killed by any person, dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahmā, Lord Nrsingadeva pierced Hiranyakāśipu's body with his nails, which were not weapons, and were neither living nor dead. Indeed, the nails can be called dead, but at the same time, they can be said to be alive. To keep intact all of Lord Brahmā's benedictions, Lord Nrsingadeva paradoxically, but very easily killed the great demon, Hiranyakāśipu. So, Vishvakspuram tam grahananturam harir vyalo yatakum kulishakshata tvacham dvarurumma pachadadhara lilaya nakaryata kim garudo mahavisham. So, Omaganati Madandasha Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigarve Namaha. So,
it's verse number 29
in the 8th chapter of the 7th canto. Okay, you can see that on your iPhone or something?
Yeah, you got it.
You got all the books on your iPhone. I do too, but... So, the Lord's killing Hiranyakāśipu is evidence of a manifestation of the indirect rasa. There's anger, there's ghastliness. Just like Krishna, he has, and the Lord, Krishna in all his multifarious incarnations, has five direct rasas, right? Everybody knows them? Shanta ras, Dasha ras, Sakhi ras, Vatsalya ras, and Madhurya ras. Or for those of you who don't understand Sanskrit, of course you all understand that. So there's seven indirect rasas which flavor the direct rasas. I mean, I'll give an example. In cooking, let's say you have a particular vegetable that has a ras, of course, means taste. It doesn't mean relationship. So let's say you have a particular vegetable like vegan. And for those of you who don't understand what that means, that means eggplant. So let's say you have eggplant for vegan, and it has a particular taste to it. But then you add some spices, right? You may add some turmeric, you may add some ginger, asafoetida, and other spices to sort of moderate the taste. Not exactly change the taste, but just give it different manifestations. So in the same way, the Lord adds these indirect rasas or tastes to the direct rasas to give them a different manifestation. So for his enjoyment, in other words. Like we add spices to the food for our enjoyment. And for the enjoyment, obviously for the enjoyment of Krishna. And then we enjoy it later on, taking the Mahaprasad. So in the same way, Krishna, he likes to do things like fighting, anger, ghastliness. You see, the killing of Lord Nrsingadeva was a pretty ghastly affair. You see the pictures of Hiranyakashipu being killed by Lord Nrsingadeva, and Lord Nrsingadeva has the garland, the intestinal garlands of Hiranyakashipu around his neck. It's quite frightening, isn't it? It's ghastly. I mean, you can imagine the scene of having someone's intestines around your neck. I mean, that means also when you kill someone, there's blood spurting all over the place. It's not just like a little few drops of blood. I don't know if any of you have ever killed anybody. But I'll give you an example. Yes, you have killed someone. Probably many of you, when you were young, you killed goats, right? No? And the way they kill goats, how they chop their necks off, right? And the blood goes all over the place. Some of you have experienced that. I've never killed an animal, and I'm from a Malecha country. But some of you have actually eaten and killed goats when you were young, or other animals. So don't be proud of your background. So anyway, so the blood comes out, spurts out. So it's very ghastly. So Krishna enjoys these different pastimes. And when Krishna really wants to have a serious fight, of course, no serious fights are allowed in the spiritual world. You can have fighting, but it's more or less like playful fighting. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is described that when different devotees take the form of particular demons, there's no killing of them. Krishna actually plays with them. For example, some devotee took the form of Arishtashura in the spiritual world. And Krishna didn't kill the Arishtashura in the spiritual world. Krishna gave him to Lord Shiva as the original form of Nandi. And then Krishna also gave rides to everybody on the back of Arishtashura. Same thing happened with the Keshi demon. Some devotee took the form of the Keshi demon, and Krishna, instead of putting his fist in the mouth and killing the Keshi demon, he tamed him and he gave everybody rides around Vrindavan on the back of this big horse. Nice, isn't it? But sometimes Krishna likes to have really honest drag out, full fights where there's killing with the indirect rasas, which I mentioned before. And therefore, Krishna arranges for his devotees to come to the material world to do that. Because Krishna does not enjoy so much fighting with demons, actual demons. He likes to fight with devotees. That's a chivalrous relationship or indirect relationship. So just like there's that story of that one demon that Krishna didn't want to fight with, Kaliyavana. You know the story from Krishna book? There was this one demon. He was actually a demon, a rascal. He wasn't a devotee. So Krishna was thinking, I don't want to kill him directly. I'll just arrange for my devotee to kill him. So Krishna ran away from this demon, ran into the cave where his devotee, Muchukunda, was sleeping. And Muchukunda had previously gotten the benediction from the demigods, because he had fought for a long time for the demigods. He had previously got the benediction that whoever woke him up, he could burn to ashes. So Krishna hid in a corner of the cave, and this demon Kaliyavana thought that Muchukunda was Krishna because he had the covers pulled over his head. And he kicked Muchukunda. Muchukunda woke up, looked at Kaliyavana, and guess what? He was instantly cremated. No need for a funeral ceremony. It's instant, boom, cremation. Ashes, pile of ashes. So, because Krishna didn't want to touch him. You're just a dirty demon. So when Krishna arranges for his devotee, so in this particular case of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, of course, they were Jaya and Vijaya before, and you all know that story. I don't think I need to tell that story before. And they were the sons of Diti, and Diti and Kashyapa had a relationship at an inappropriate time, and as a result, these two boys were born. And the first one killed by the Lord, that was Hiranyaksha. Actually, literally, Hiranyaksha means gold eye. You know that? Aksha, Hiranyaksha, means one who has gold eyes or looks for gold. Just like many of you have seen some of these movies in the Western world, James Bond movies like Goldfinger. You understand? Some of you know these things. Some of you have been contaminated by the Western influence. So his gold eye was the name of this demon. And of course, Lord Varaha killed him very easily. And then Hiranyakashipu was very angry that his brother had been killed. Very, very angry. And he took a vow that he would kill the Lord. But first he decided that in order to kill the Lord, he had to weaken the Lord and weaken the demigods by destroying all these sacrifices and killing brahmanas, of course. Because he thought if the brahmanas were killed and the sacrifices were stopped, then guess what would happen? There'd be no food for the demigods. They'd starve to death. And actually, it's a fact. The demigods are dependent upon the performance of yajna. And when you do proper yajna to the demigods, of course, not that you should worship the demigods, but when people would worship the demigods, the food went up to them, and they also got a chance to drink the soma ras, which is the demigods' form of liquor. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's very, very similar. So Hiranyakashipu became so determined to kill Lord Vishnu, he did what most demons do when they want to get great power. They performed austerities. Just like Ravana, he performed austerities, and ultimately Ravana's austerities culminated in his cutting his heads off and offering them to Lord Brahma. And that's why he's called Dasa Griva. That means the ten-headed one, because he offered 10 times his heads, and the heads kept coming back. And he also could manifest 10 heads at once. Whenever he wanted to have a GBC meeting, there was 10 heads there. You understand? No need of anyone else. He could have a whole discussion between the different heads. What do you think about this? Let's vote. Like that. So, in the same way, we had Hiranyakashipu perform austerities. This is a famous story. He stood on his tiptoes for so many years. And on Mount Mandara. And eventually, his flesh was eaten away. And he was living inside the bone. He was a great yogi. The bones was the marrow of the bones. Finally, Lord Brahma appeared and poured his water from the celestial kandalu, the kamandalu, and then blessed him. And the body became whole again, and he became very, very, very strong. And he asked him, "What sort of benediction do you want?" Generally, the demons first ask for the benediction of immortality, and generally Lord Brahma says, you can't have that, but you can choose the way that you die. Just like there were two demons in the Mahabharata, their names were Sunda and Upasunda. And they were so powerful, nobody could defeat them. So Lord Brahma said, you can choose the way you die. And these two demons were brothers. They loved each other. And they said that the only way we'll die is if we kill each other. And they thought, we will never kill each other because we love each other. But Lord Brahma had a very special plan. He called for Vishwakarma to construct the most beautiful lady. So they took the most beautiful parts. This is like genetic engineering that they have nowadays. They took the most beautiful parts of all the most beautiful girls in the universe. You know, the best nose, the best ears, the best teeth, the best part of all the parts of the body, and put the most beautiful lady, her name was Tilotama. That means topmost sesame seed. You know, in India sometimes, I guess people call their wives or girlfriends my little sesame seed. Have you ever seen that? I've never heard of it.
No.
But anyway, it says in the Mahabharata, that used to be like that. Oh, my little, like nowadays they say my little flower, my little champak, right? No, you never did that. You should do that. So, anyway, so Tilotama meant topmost sesame girl. And so she circumambulated the demigods, and as she circumambulated the demigods, she was so beautiful the demigods grew extra eyes and heads on their bodies so they could see her. And then she went down to the earth planet where the Sunda and Upasunda were getting drunk, and when they saw her, they said, she's mine. Another one said, she's mine, and they began to fight. And eventually they killed each other over this girl. So Lord Brahma really knows how to give benedictions that'll predict the way that someone will die. So if you ask Lord Brahma for a benediction, you can figure out how you're going to die. It's not really a benediction. It actually is the cause of your death. The same thing with Hiranyakashipu. Of course, Hiranyakashipu, he thought he would trick Lord Brahma, saying, not inside, not outside, not day or night, not by anything live or dead. In other words, he was thinking dead, it means a sword. Live means someone's teeth. So he thought, you know, I've covered all of my bases, so to speak. But he didn't understand that the Lord had another plan. The Lord could kill him with his nails, which were either dead or alive, etc. So then, Hiranyakashipu, after receiving these benedictions from Lord Brahma, became so powerful that all the demigods began to serve him, except for Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu and Lord Brahma. And he began to reside in heaven. They all were offering obeisances to him. Even Narada Muni, they were all just like bowing down, dandavats, you know, to Hiranyakashipu because they were so much afraid of him. So, another point is, the cause of his destruction, Hiranyakashipu's destruction, of course, is the pastime of the Lord, was his offenses against the Vaishnavas. When one commits an offense against the Vaishnava, everything becomes finished. One may become the most powerful person in the universe, most intelligent person, most rich person, but then everything's finished by offending Vaishnavas. As we see in the stories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like the stories of Gopal Chakravarti, who offended Haridas Thakur. He said to Haridas Thakur, Namavas is not available to give you liberation. I'll cut your nose off. And then what happened a few days later? His nose fell off because he had leprosy. So many, many stories about people falling down because they committed offenses against Vaishnavas. Anyway, so while Hiranyakashipu was performing all of his austerities before he became benedicted by Lord Brahma, his wife was taken away, that's Kayadu, was taken away by Indra. Because Indra thought, she's pregnant, she's going to give birth to a demon, so we're going to kill the demon kid as soon as he's born. But actually Narada Muni interfered. Narada Muni took Kayadu to his ashram. His ashram is in Narada Kund, which is right next to Govardhan Hill. Anyone here been to Narada Kund? You've seen it. It's like a, on the other side of the road, the Parikrama path from Govardhan, right near Kushama Sarovara, in fact. And that's where Narada Muni composed the Narada Pantaratra, Narada Bhakti Sutras. And previously, Narada Muni had been a gopi. Did you know that story? That Narada Muni wanted to see Krishna's rasa dance, so he had to jump into the Kushama Sarovara and become Naradi. Naradi is a female Narada Muni. And when Krishna saw him, Krishna said, you have to compose the Narada Bhakti Sutras and reside here at Govardhan. And Narada Muni said, I can't reside any place because I've been cursed to always travel. And Krishna said, Govardhan is not a material place, so curses don't apply here. So anyway, Narada Muni took Kayadu to his ashram, and he preached to Kayadu about Krishna consciousness, and Kayadu listened. Later on, she forgot most of it. But Prahlad Maharaj, within the womb of his mother, heard all this transcendental sound vibration and became Krishna conscious just by hearing transcendental sound. Prabhupada said, if one hears transcendental sound, even without understanding, one will make spiritual advancement. So Prabhupada insisted that devotees would attend his lectures, even when Prabhupada was speaking in Bengali or in Hindi. Prabhupada would say, you just sit here and listen, even if you don't understand. So Prahlad Maharaj became completely Krishna conscious, and later on when Hiranyakashipu came back from his austerities and won his benediction, he took Prahlad Maharaj and his wife back. And Hiranyakashipu had four sons. Prahlad Maharaj was actually the best of the sons. And from his early childhood, he was completely disinterested in anything material. For example, his teachers, you all know the story that Sundana Market tried to teach him about friends and enemies and politics, how to deal with enemies, for example. First of all, there's sweet words, and if you want to conquer an enemy, first of all, you praise him. So you got to be very careful if someone praises you, right? What do they say? See, he who praises me is my enemy, right? And so you praise them, sweet words, then if he doesn't agree with you, you give him a position, you make him vice president of the temple, or GBC or something like that. We see Prabhupada sometimes did that with people. He gave people positions because they weren't particularly submissive in relationship to him. And then after that, you use the technique of Veda, which means divide and conquer. And after that, you threaten him. And after that, argumentum ad vaculum, you beat him with a stick. So these are the different ways of dealing with enemies. But Prahlad Maharaj didn't like this. He didn't like to consider anyone to be his enemy because, as the Isopanishad states, yastu sarvani bhutani atman evanu pashati. When it was Krishna conscious, sees everyone equal and doesn't hate anybody. So then what happened is eventually, after attending school, Hiranyakashipu took his son home and said to him, what is the best thing you learned, my dear son? And Prahlad Maharaj said, the best thing I learned is that you should take sannyas. You know, because you're just so damn sinful. The only thing that'll solve your problems is, you know, go to the forest. He said, you know, basically vanaprastha. Vanaprastha means to go to the forest. And so Hiranyakashipu got really upset. He said, what is this child learning? He called for Sundana Marga, and he said, just make sure that he doesn't learn all these things from some like devotee who's sneaking into the ashram. So then, after some time, he began to instruct his friends in the science of Krishna consciousness. Whenever Sundana Marga, who are the sons of Shukracharya, walked out of the classroom, and Sundana Marga were very upset, they brought him back to his father, and his father asked him, again, what have you learned in school? And then Prahlad Maharaj said something that really made his father angry. He said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. The best thing I've learned is to hear and chant and remember the nine processes, nine Navabhakti, of devotional service. And my dear father, if you're doing anything else, he said, this is a famous verse, Matirna Krishna Paratos Vatova Mato Vitpadyeta Graha Vratanam Adanda Gopir Vishatam Tamishram Punap Punas Charvananam. All you're doing, my dear father, is just chewing the chewed. And his father, of course, got very angry at that time. And he threw him down on the ground. And he tried to have him killed by chopping him up into pieces, eaten by rakshasas, stamped by elephants, put in a snake pit, spells, like there were some people who did some magic spells on him. His mother gave him poison. He threw him into fire, crushed, starved him, frozen. All these things are described in the Bhagavatam. Had stones thrown on him, and he was put into a pot of oil, and the oil pot became like flowers. So the father was very, very frustrated and sent him back to school. And then he began to teach his students, fellow students, even more. Another famous verse is Komaracharat Bhagavat Dharmam Bhagavatam Niha Durlabham Manasa Janma Tadaptu Martadam. That you should take up Krishna consciousness from your very birth. Komara. Acharat, you must, that's imperative in Sanskrit, pragyo. You must take it up, even from your very birth. And his fellow students, of course, gave the famous excuse that we're only young kids. What happened to you? Oh. His fellow students gave the excuse that we're only young children, and then Prahlad Maharaj gave the famous answer, that you always have excuses. Right now you'll say you're kids. Later on you're going to say you're teenagers. Later on you're going to say you're married. You're driving a taxi. You don't have time for Krishna consciousness. I just added that. I added that one. Isn't it? I mean, we all have excuses. I got family responsibilities. I'm building a house in Mayapur. So I don't have time for chanting or doing anything Krishna conscious. And then later on, you'll have an excuse that, oh, I have to take care of my children, or I'm old, too old, I have to play golf. or cricket, I have to play cricket with my friends. And later on, you'll be dead. And actually, there's another verse we were just reading in the Bhagavatam that's very similar to this. It's in the fifth canto. It talks about how one's entanglement never ends. First of all, one gets married. Then one has to work. Then one has children. Then the children grow up, and they get married. But then guess what happens? Then you have grandchildren. Then you have to spend all your time visiting the grandchildren and taking care of the grandchildren. And then after that, you have your great-grandchildren. So the whole life is just like you're forgetting about Krishna consciousness. It's true. Isn't it? Children, grandchildren. And at a certain point, you just have to say, I'm out of here, you know. That's why we say at 50, or nowadays 60, but 50, you know, you just say, well, you know, you've had me for enough time, enough years now, you know. Now it's time to fully devote myself to Krishna. Otherwise, it won't end. Because it's like a snowball that goes down the hill that gathers momentum. You understand? Like, you ever seen that? Like a You haven't seen snow here, but anyway, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So you may have four children, but then you'll probably have 16 grandchildren. And then if you have 16 grandchildren, multiply that by four. Then you'll have 64 great grandchildren. And you multiply that by four, I can't do the mathematics right now. But then you're just like entangled forever and ever and ever. And then you have to take birth in the same family or in the same village, as Prabhupada said, as a cobbler. Because you're so attached to your family. Like Prabhupada told that story about a man who was very attached to his family. And so he took birth in the same village. He didn't have good karma. Jai, Shishi, Gornitai, Radharada Kanta, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. And then he took birth in the same village as a cobbler, and his family came to buy some shoes, and they beat him with the shoes. So at a certain stage, you just have to say full-time devotional service. It doesn't mean you have to leave your family. You can be kshetra sannyas, which is the preferable stage of sannyas, which means you stay with your family, but you use your family situation to preach Krishna consciousness, distribute prasadam. Anyway, so then finally, Hiranyakashipu brought Prahlad Maharaj back, and he asked him, where do you get your power from? And Prahlad Maharaj's famous reply is, from the same place you get your power from, Dad. And then Hiranyakashipu asks, you know, where is this God? And famous answer is, he's everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu says, is he in that pillar over there? And Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, he's in that pillar. And then he hits the pillar with his fist, and Lord Narsingadev comes out, and this It's interesting, I was talking to Srila Bhakti Shrimaraj yesterday, that Lord Narsingadev came out around the middle of the day. He appeared in the middle of the day. Did you know that? And he took until the dusk to kill Hiranyakashipu, because he wanted to enjoy the fight. He didn't want to just have a quick fight. I mean, all that trouble of having Jaya and Vijaya come down to the Earth planet and then fight, then killing someone in 5 minutes. You know, you want to have at least an 8-hour fight. Isn't it? I mean, all this trouble of incarnating and everything and then 2-minute fight? No, it doesn't work like that. You know, it's like they have boxing matches. You know, if there's a knockout in the first round, everybody gets upset. You know, in boxing matches? Boxing matches, in America, they used to have these boxing matches. And it has to go at least into 3 or 4 rounds. So the people will understand they paid their money. You know, they had gotten their money's worth. So Krishna wanted to get his money's worth from coming down to the Earth planet. So there was 6 or 8 hours of fighting. So actually midday, Lord Narsingadeva appears. But then the killing of Hiranyakashipu is at dusk. So there's 6 hours of fighting. And Lord Narsingadeva is described because he is half man, half lion, not man or beast. He's like a cat. He's playing. You know, ever see how cats play with mice or with birds or something like that? When I was young, my family had cats. And we could see how the cat would let the mouse go, and then he'd pick him up again, let him go again, and pick him up again. It was just like torturing the poor mouse. So Lord Narsingadeva was doing the same thing with Hiranyakashipu. He would let him go, pull him back, let him go, pull him back. And the poor guy was shaking with fear. And Lord Narsingadeva was just enjoying himself like anything. So then finally when it came time for dusk, he killed Hiranyakashipu in the doorway, which is neither inside or outside of the dusk, and with his nails, which are neither dead or alive, and he was neither a man or a beast. And he took the intestines out. It's called medically it's called an intestectomy. That's the medical term for it. He took the intestines out and used it as a garland, and he was so angry that he killed thousands of Hiranyakashipu's followers with his nails. And airplanes in outer space, the demigods, they were just thrown in all directions from the vibration of this happening. And everyone was afraid of Lord Narsingadeva. Even Lakshmi, we know, wouldn't go near Lord Narsingadeva. Let's see, this went off for a second. I'll turn it back on. Because we're broadcasting on Mayapur TV. There we go. So even Lakshmi wouldn't go near Lord Narsingadeva, and Lord Brahma wouldn't go near Lord Narsingadeva. Finally, they pushed Prahlad Maharaj in, and Prahlad Maharaj sat on Lord Narsingadeva's lap after pacifying him, and it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Lord Narsingadeva licked Prahlad Maharaj just like a cat licks its master. I mean, if anyone's seen a cat, they like to lick someone that they like. Actually, dogs do too. And Prabhupada said that when the dogs lick you, they're not actually showing their love. They're tasting you, because when people die in the street and the dogs eat the person, eat the body, they eat the nose first. That's why the dogs like to lick you, because they're just like getting a taste of a human being. But in America, they worship the dogs, right? It's like a dog-worshipping country. Instead of worshipping the cows, you know, in India, if someone eats meat, it's called the swapacha, they're dog eaters or something. But because the cow is supposed to be protected, they wouldn't eat the cow. Of course, nowadays anything happens. Anyway, so that's low-class Western civilization. So Prahlad Maharaj prays to Lord Narsingadeva, famous prayers, then I'm not afraid of you, Lord Narsingadeva, but I'm afraid of Maya. And I'm also concerned with the fools and rascals like my father. So please liberate my father. And he says, I want no benediction from you personally, Lord Narsingadeva, because I'm not a merchant, baniya. I'm not a baniya or a merchant. But I simply want to be your servant. And you are my master, and we have no other relationship. And Lord Narsingadeva says, you should enjoy Krishna consciousness. And Prahlad Maharaj prays for no more material desires. and to simply be absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. And then Lord Nrisimhadeva says, I will free 21 forefathers from the cycle of birth and death. It's described there's two types of forefathers, that means generations, past and present and future, and also the relatives, 21, let's say, connections, like nephews and nieces and everything like that. That's horizontal liberation he gives. And that's the story of Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So anyone have any questions about these points? Questions? Comments? Arguments? Problems? Yeah. Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Yeah, because I've always read also in Prabhupada's books, there's no mention of devotees taking their role such and such a deed and having the outcome different. Rather, it simply says, just the rumors of deeds, there's no deeds.
Mm.
There's like different, these are different differences of manifestation there and here.
Well, the quoting from Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which has been translated by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, I think some of you may have read that. Anyone here read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita? So it describes when Gopakumar goes back to Goloka Vrindavan, the demons are not actually demons. It describes exactly what I talked about. So, but we can understand sometimes there's rumors of demons and sometimes devotees will play the part of the demons. It's just like when we were young, we would play the parts of cops and robbers. Anyone ever do that? Cops and robbers. You know what a cop is?
Yeah.
That means a policeman and a dacoit. Just to put it in something in a language you'd understand. That I would be a policeman and one of my friends would be a dacoit. Because we didn't use those words, because I didn't know those words when I was young. But so it was like a playful thing. You know, they just decide, there's a rumor of a demon, and one devotee will say, well, I'd like to try that out, you know, try to play that part. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's how to reconcile both explanations. Anyway, Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami is perfect and Prabhupada is perfect, so to reconcile both of those explanations, we understand in that way. Yeah.
Lord Vishnu, when he appeared, Maharaj, he fought with the Hiranyakashipu and with the snails, elephants, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared, he distributed to him. But now the demonic personalities, those who are like the
yes, that's fine. So our weapon, Sangopangasra Parshanam, is Lord Chaitanya's associates and the holy names. Dinahina Yatachilo Harinamu Durilo. Right? We don't use weapons. We don't use gross weapons. We use the weapon of the holy name. Yagyai Sankirtanaya Yajantihi Sumedasa. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishna. Sango Pangashta Parshana. You know that?
Yeah.
Astra. Yeah, Yajantihi Sumedasa. You have sufficient brain substance. Prabhupada said, if you don't have brain substance, you have stool substance. What is that? Gobar brain or something like that? Is that how they say? What is that? How do you say that in Bengali?
You say your hand is called on Gobola.
Yeah, I know what Gobar is, but how do you say the whole phrase in Bengali?
Gobar Mata.
Gobar Mata? Mate. So, you know, if you have sufficient Sumedasa instead of Durmedasa, then you'll worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Sankirtan. And the Sankirtan, I mean, look at Lord Nityananda's pastimes. You know that the story of those dacoits that wanted to steal Lord Nityananda's jewels? I'm sure you all know that story.
Yeah.
I mean, they were planning that out for, like, first time they went, they fell asleep. Second time, they saw the Vaikuntha guards. Third time, you know, it rained down pus and everything from the sky, and they were blind. And then they surrendered to Lord Nityananda. They became pure devotees. So, I mean, look at that. They're pretty big dacoits, right? Tara Shakshi Jagai Madai. Yes, they fight amongst each other. We don't need to kill them, they'll kill each other. We need to kill the demoniac mentality by pure sound vibration. Shuddha Nam. We ourselves have to be able to chant the Shuddha Nam. Not simply Namabhas. Namabhas means, you know, reflection of the holy names. We have to be able to chant the name purely by having a pure life, a pure sadhana. Yes?
Maharaj, Crystal said in Bhagavad Gita that this knowledge is very confidential, not for everybody.
Rajavijaya, Rajaguyam.
And Mahaprabhu said that his holy name will spread every town and village around the world. So how is it helping each other?
Well, first of all, Lord Chaitanya is much more merciful than Krishna. Krishna says in the Gita, Sarva Dharmam Parichaja Mamakam Shavanam Praja, as a prerequisite. In other words, before you can do anything, you have to surrender. Whereas Lord Chaitanya is Dinahina Yatachilo Harinamudurilo. You understand? It doesn't matter. You're fallen or you're elevated. You take up this Harinam. It's described, of course, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes that the Panchatattva, so that nobody was willing to pay the price of love of Godhead. So they broke open the storehouse of love of God and distributed it freely. So that's why Lord Chaitanya is called Nuo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Koritase Namaha. He's the most munificent because he's giving out something free. I mean, can you imagine someone who is giving out Mercedes-Benz here free? You know, the best car. Or even a Rolls Royce or something like that. You'd say, wow, you're very merciful. So Lord Chaitanya is giving out something that nobody is willing to pay the price for. And even though he's giving it out free, we're not even accepting it. That's the problem. We're stubborn. We're like Prahlad Maharaj's school friends who are always making excuses. Isn't it? You can't do it. There's no time for chanting. But it's free. Isn't it? Kevala Nandakanda, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai, Chaitanya Nidai. Isn't it? It's free, but I have no time. Prabhupada said we want to make our lives complicated. You understand? We want something complicated. Something simple, we're not ready to accept. Like just chant and be happy. Of course, you have to do your work too. I mean, you have to support your families and everything, but you have to understand your first priority is chanting. I mean, if you don't do that, Shama Eva He Kevalam, it's all a waste of time. Is it? Shama Eva He Kevalam, what is the use? Because when it's all finished, you lose everything anyway. Can't take your taxi back to Godhead with you. Isn't it? Yeah.
Amongst the devotees, just fighting is there.
Yeah.
What about that?
That is Kali's trick. And that's, you know, because Kali resides wherever people are not following the regulative principles and also hoarding gold or greedy. It's not just if someone has gold that Kali's there, but if they're greedy in this material world. So Kali comes in where one has these anarthas. Like Kama, Krodha, Mada, Matsarya, especially Kama and Krodha. You know, lust, anger, Kama, Krodha, Mada, lust, anger, and greed. So Kali is there. And where Kali is, Kali's interfering. Where Kali is, and then, especially this jealousy, Matsarya, it causes fighting amongst devotees. Prabhupada said nothing can stop the Krishna consciousness movement except for the fighting between devotees. That's why new devotees are called neophytes. They're new, neo, and they fight. You understand? Neophytes. That's a play on words. So, why? What does that neophyte mean? It means we don't see Krishna in everyone's heart. A neophyte sees Krishna on the altar. He's in the temple. But then, outside of the temple, in your heart, no, Krishna's not in your heart, so I can just fight with you. If I saw Krishna in your heart, I would not be able to fight with you. Because I would be offering obeisances. Like when we offer obeisances, we're offering obeisances to the super soul in the heart. Right? Krishna's in everyone's heart. Just like Hanuman, he opened up his chest, and who was there?
Sita
Ram. So in the same way, of course, I don't advise you to do that with your chest. You'll die. Hanuman was... Anyway, he's Chiranjeev, he doesn't die. So that's the same way. Krishna's right there in our hearts. And he's in your heart. And so when we see someone else, whether devotee or non-devotee, we actually are approaching the super soul as well as the individual soul in the heart. Very important point. Then we won't fight. I mean, how can we hate someone when we see Krishna with four arms or playing his flute or whatever form he's manifesting in a particular individual's heart? How can we hate that person, right? If I look at Shradadeva's heart, I see Krishna there. Radha and Krishna in his heart. Right? Gaurinathai is in your heart. That's pretty good, isn't it? So then there's no fighting. But if I'm a neophyte, oh, Krishna's there on the altar, but as soon as I step out of the temple room, as soon as I step out of the temple room, there's no Krishna. It's like that one movie many years ago. Of course, none of you saw that movie. But there was this one movie called Never on Sunday. It was about a prostitute who was Catholic. And so, I think you can understand the story. So she was doing her business every day of the week except for Sunday. Sunday she was very religious when she went to church because it was God's day. You understand? That's why they, in the Bible they talk about honoring the Sabbath, because that's the seventh day. Sabbath means the seventh day. And in Jewish religion, the seventh day is Saturday. In the Christian religion, it's Sunday. So every other day of the week, they're nonsense. Except for that one side. And that was what that movie was about. Or, like Prabhupada talked about, how the Christians, they will sin, and they will go to confession, right? You know what confession is? They confess, "My Father, please forgive me, I sinned this week." And the Father will say, "You're forgiven, you're forgiven." Next week, comes back, says the same thing. Next week, says the same thing. And so the Father is getting bored with all these descriptions. And so the Father is just playing with his iPhone the whole time. Because it's very boring. But it is the same thing, so, you know, the same thing over and over and over again. So what is the use? So that's a neophyte. God's here, he's on the altar, Radharada Kanta are there. They should just stay on the altar. We don't want them leaving the altar. Because that would cause us problems. Isn't it? If they leave the altar and come into my home, I don't want that. Yeah, or like when you're going to do some nonsense, you close the curtains, right? Like I see, I go to people's homes sometimes when they want to do some nonsense, like watch the football games, close the DVD curtains. He does that? Yeah, I know that. I see that happen all the time. Because, you know, you don't want Krishna to see you watching the football games. But he's there anyway. He's still watching. He's in every atom in everyone's heart. Okay, I think it's time to end now. All right, thank you very much. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Lord of Sinhadev Ki Jai, Lord Prevananda, Hari Ananda, and Prabhupada. Okay, Mayapur TV Ki Jai. Okay, tonight we have our program. What time is the program? 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock is what? The Abhishek or?
No.
The Havan?
Class.
Class.
Yeah.
6 o'clock is the Havan, or
5 o'clock Havan, 7 o'clock
Abhishek, and Prashad. Okay, so they're going to finish making that Yajnastala. In fact, there's a lot of work to do.
I know, but
I'm sure they know what they're doing. They don't need me to help.
We have so many devotees.